Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yevamos Daf Kuf Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur will begin at the very bottom line of Daf Kuf Ches Omid Beis at the Mishnah. Before we begin the Mishnah, we glance at the side where we have a topic heading which will help lead us into the discussion in the Mishnah. We've written on the side, Gireshes Ishto Vechzira, a person who had divorced his wife and then took her back, V'achar kach meis b'lo bonim, and then he died without children, Muteres la'yovam, she is allowed to marry the Yovam, V'Rabbi Elazar Oser, and Rabbi Elazar disagrees. He says, not so. So as far as the Tanakama is concerned, we see that the heter of Yibum is evaluated at the time of the husband's death and not in terms of what had happened previously. If you were to look at the previous record, you would notice that this woman had been divorced, and a woman divorced from one's brother is strictly forbidden. Nevertheless, we don't look at that in determining whether she's fit for Yibum, but rather we look at the state of matters at the time of death. And at the time of death, she was married to this particular man, and hence the surviving brother is eligible to marry her. As we said, Rabbi Elazar, we'll see in the Mishnah, disagrees. Now we turn to the Mishnah. Hamagarish is ishto v'chzira, muteres le'yavam. The man who divorced his wife but took her back, upon his death, if he has no children, she can marry the brother-in-law, the Yovam. We continue at the top of Kuftes Omid Aleph, Rebbe Elazar Oser. V'chein hamegarish es hayesoima v'herzira. Likewise, a person who had been married to a minor and divorced her but then took her back, when this husband dies, muteres le'yavam. For Rebbe Elazar Oser, once again, Rebbe Elazar forbids. Ketano shesiovia v'nisgarsha, a girl who was married off by her father. That is a marriage that is sanctioned by the Torah. So, though she's a minor, she's considered fully married to the husband when the girl was married off by her father. And then she was divorced. We categorize her ki yesoima b'chayohav. She is considered orphaned, halachically speaking. The father is alive, but the father has no more jurisdiction over her in terms of marriage. So she's categorized as a yesoima, as an orphan during the lifetime of her father. V'ichzira. Then the man took her back. The husband took her back. Divrei hakol asur liyovam. Everyone will agree that she is forbidden to Yibum. Now, you'll ask, why is that? Well, as far as her status as a divorcee, that is a Torah level. That's Doraisa. She was divorced in a complete form of divorce. So she is a grusha from this man on a Torah level. On a rabbinic level, she was remarried by him. But the rabbinic level of marriage, it does not overrule the Torah status of being a divorcee. Hence, the man, the husband, when he dies, even though he had taken her back, when he dies, the brother cannot marry her because she is left with the label of grushas ochiv, of being a divorcee from the brother. And a grusha obviously does not do yibum. The Gemara. We see in the Gemara a new marking. We have on the side the Nose Mifneh heading, where we have a topic heading and structural note combined into one, and we have a house shape that is going to appear in the Gemara. These are Deos Lahasbir, Taimos Shirebelozer, Diomar Bemishneh. These are different opinions to explain. Rabbi Lozer, who had said in the Mishnah, Magari Sheso Isha, Vichziro, Meisbli Bonim, Asura Leyovam. We want to explain to Rabbi Lozer, who, as we saw in the Mishnah, forbids the woman who was divorced, though taken back by the original husband, to do Yibum. The Gemara. Omar Eifa, this is a name, Eifa, my Taimo de Rabbi Elozer. Why is it that Rabbi Elozer forbids the Yibum of such a woman? Answer, Hoyel v'omda olav sho achas bisur, because there was a time that she had been forbidden to the surviving brother. What was at that time? When the brother, if you want to use names, Reuven, is married to a woman, and eventually Reuven dies, and Shimon will be the Yavam. But since Reuven had divorced her at a certain point, that creates a label of prohibition upon her vis-a-vis Shimon, the surviving brother. Omru le Rabbonin le Eifa. The Rabbonin said, according to your analysis, that she was Shoachas be'iser, Ihochi chalitza nami lo tiboy. A woman like that shouldn't require even chalitza. She should simply be viewed as a forbidden woman. And if you try to argue, that's right, there's no need for chalitza either. That's not true. Vatanya mishum Rebbe Elozer, in the name of Rebbe Elozer, and this is dashed underlined because we're focusing on this Tana right now. In the name of Rebbe Elozer, it was said choletzes, that she does do chalitza. Elo omar eifa Rebbe Elozer lo yodana my taimo. I don't know what his reason is. I don't know why he says no yibum, but yes chalitza. Omar Abaye, Hainu Taimo de Revelozer, Misafka Le, E Miso, Mapelas E, Nisuin, Horishonim Mapilim. According to Abaye, the Tana Revelozer is in doubt whether Mapelas literally means to fall or to be cast, and to be cast to evil. So we are in doubt. Rebbe Elozer is in doubt, that is. He himself is in doubt whether the eligibility for Yibum is established at the time of death, or the original marriage is what determines things. And the Gemara expounds on this. If you say that death, the point of death is the point at which we evaluate eligibility, then she is she is in front of him, she is available for Yibum, because at the point of the husband's death you had a couple that was married, totally married, and he died, the husband died without children. That's reason for Yibum. However, if however you start evaluating eligibility from the point of the original marriage, there was a time at which the label of prohibition was attached, namely at the point that she had been divorced. So there was an original marriage that resulted in divorce. The fact that she's taken back afterwards is not as if the clock restarts. Rava Omar, Le'olam Pshita Le'Rebbe Elozer de Misa Mapelas. As far as Rava is concerned, the Tana Rebbe Elozer is sure that evaluation of Yibum eligibility is based on time of death, and that's reason to allow Yibum. Omiu, however, there's an additional consideration. Hakol Bekiyin Begerishin Vein Hakol Bekiyin Bechazara. Gerushin, divorce, is something that is known to everybody. The entire community knows she was divorced. However, not everyone will know that he took her back. So they look at her as a divorcee of Reuven. if Shimon were to marry her, they're not going to know that Shimon is marrying her as a result of Reuven having remarried her. And people will think that Yibum can be done, or marriage can be done between a woman and the husband's brother, what we call Grushas Ochiv, a woman divorced from one can be married by the other, and that's of course a major prohibition. So the analysis for Rebbe Elazar is based on this consideration about the public's level of awareness. The Gemara says in response, Adarabah, to the contrary, Chazora, as far as the remarriage is concerned, Kivon Diyasva, to say, since at the time the man dies, she's living with him. Is Le Kola, that creates public awareness. A Kol means a sound, awareness. So how can you argue that the Gerushin is that which is well known? If anything, the remarriage is well known. The Gemara says, not so, because we have to consider a specific situation, a specific scenario. Mi lo askinan, are we not, in fact, dealing with a case, the Hadra Be'urta V'shocha B'tzafra, that when we speak about a man remarrying her, yeah, he remarried her in the evening, and by the next morning he was already dead. In other words, we have to consider a case like that. So in a situation like that, not everyone will know about the man having remarried his divorcee. Rav Ashi, Omar Hainu Taimo de Rebbe Elazar. De Gozar Hani, Rebbe Elazar feels that all cases of a man remarrying his wife, one has to consider those cases being confused with the following. Mishum Yesoima B'chaye Ho'av V'Hichzira. Now this was the last case we saw in the Mishnah. You can see it on the third, fourth line from the top. We learned it in the Mishnah that a girl who was married off by her father, so that is a Torah level marriage, the husband divorces her. If the husband divorces her, that's a Torah level divorce. When that man remarries her, that is called a rabbinic level marriage. There's no question in anyone's mind that when a man like that dies, leaving the widow, who's essentially a rabbinically speaking a widow, because on a Torah level she's really his divorcee. So on a Torah level, she cannot do Yibum. So that particular case involved a divorce and then a subsequent remarriage. But that remarriage will not result in Yibum. It will be prohibited to do Yibum. Therefore, all other cases where, though the remarriage was also on a Torah level, we cannot allow Yibum. Because if we are allowed to, if we were to allow Yibum in the other cases, the cases that we've discussed till now involving a Machzir Grushasai, if we allow Yibum there, we'll end up allowing Yibum in this case of Yesoima B'chayo Av. And therefore, Rebbe Elazar takes this strict approach across the boards, prohibiting Yibum in all cases of Machzir Grushasai. Hachi Nami Mistabra. This analysis is also likely, is also logical. The Dekotoni Seifa, because the Seifa of our Mishnah spells out that particular case. Kitanash Siavia, Vinisgarsha, Kiyosom B'chayav, the minor who was married off by her father and then divorced, she's considered a Yesoim B'chayav, that's a legal category. Vichzira, and then the original husband takes her back. Divrei Kol, Shasru Liyavim, everyone will agree. Even the Rabbanan will agree that she cannot do Yibum. Hi, my Lameimra. This last case of Mishnah, what's the purpose in teaching it? Pshita, is it not obvious? In other words, the whole analysis that we gave is something that anyone could figure out, that you have a Doraisa-level divorce and the subsequent remarriage is purely rabbinic. So then it's obvious that she cannot do Yibum. Elo Olaf, so why was it taught in the Mishnah? Ha, Komash Malon. The reason that this obvious case appears in the Mishnah is to tell us the following. Taima de Rabbi Elazar, the Gozar Hanoch Mishum Hai. The basis of Rabbi Elazar was he ruled out, he forbids Yibum in all the other cases because of this case, in anticipation of this case. Shma Mino. So this is conclusive evidence that Rav Ashi's explanation for Rabbi Elazar is the way to go. Tanyo Kavose de Rav Ashi. Now we have a Tanaic source that supports Rav Ashi. Moidim Chachom Rabbi Elazar. The Chachomim concede to Rabbi Elazar. Tana Shasi Aviyav and Hizgasha Arei Kisum V'chayav Yechziro Shasru Liyavam. A minor that was married off by her father, subsequently divorced, and then taken back. She is also to the Yavam. Everyone agrees, even the Chachomim, as you see, they concede to Rabbi Elazar. Mipnei Shegirusha Girushin Gemurah, because her divorce is a full-fledged divorce. Ve'ein Chazarosa Chazar Gemurah, and her remarriage is not a full-fledged remarriage. It's a rabbinic-level remarriage, because once the girl was divorced, the father loses control over her in marital terms, and therefore her, any remarriage that she experiences is on a rabbinic level, because we're dealing with a minor. Bamed Bamumurim, when is this the case? Shigirshok Shikitana, Virzir Shikitana, when she was divorced as a minor and remarried as a minor. Avol. Girshok Shikitana, Virzir Shigidoilo, if he divorced her when she was still under 12, but he took her back, he remarried her after 12 and after adulthood. Inami, Virzirok Shikitana, Vigodla Etzloi Umeis. Or he in fact remarried her when she was still a minor. However, she continued living with him until she reached adulthood, and then the husband died. Oy choletzes, oy misyabemes. Both options are open in that case, because the remarriage gains a rabbinic, a Torah level status. That is as far as the Chachomim are concerned. Mishum Rabbi Elazar Amru, in the name of Rabbi Elazar it was said, Chayletzes Veloy Misyabemes, that the only option available, even in that case, is Chalitza, no Yibum. If we look in the Rashi, a few lines down from here, Mishum Rabbi Elazar Amru, Umidikotoni Liel, from the fact that this source opened up by saying, Umoidim Chachomim Rabbi Elazar B'Yisum Chayav, that the Chomim concede to Rebbe Elazar in that specific case, Almo Airi Bo Rebbe Elazar. That shows us that Rebbe Elazar deals with that case. He speaks about that case. The Taimo the Bachar Naisa Mishumha, that in fact the Rebbe Elazar's opinion about the other cases of Machzir Gushoso and the exclusion of Yibum is a result of this case of Ketana Shesiyaviv Venizgarsha. On the side, we have a Tatnose, a subtopic heading. Ma Dino Shel Tsoras Hamuchzeres Aliba de Rebbe Elazar. Up to now, Rebbe Elazar spoke about the case of Reuven having divorced one of his wives and then taking her back. According to Rebbe Elazar, when Reuven dies, leaving no children, so the woman who he had divorced and then taken back is prohibited in Yibum. This Gemara will deal with a case where that very Reuven happens to have another wife. She's the co-wife of a woman who had been divorced by that very same husband and then taken back. As far as the co-wife is concerned, she had a stable married life with Reuven the whole time. But she is a co-wife of a woman that is prohibited in Yibum, according to Rebbe Elazar. So what is the din when Reuven dies, leaving no children, regarding the tzara, the co-wife? Bominei Rava Me Rav Nachman. Rava asks, according to the Tana Rebbe Elazar, he asks Rav Nachman Sarasamau, what is the status of the co-wife? Of course, we're talking about the woman who had been divorced and then remarried, and she is a gedola, What is the din of the co-wife? Omar Leis, Rav Nachman responds, he gufa gzera, the case of the gedola that was remarried, and her prohibition in Yibum is itself a gezera. It itself is not letter of the law. It's with anticipation of the Soyme B'chayav case. So the Muhseres Gedola is itself a gezera, a rabbinic restriction. V'ana nekum v'nigzor gzera l'gzera. We're going to now arise and impose an additional prohibition, namely to prohibit the tzora in anticipation of marriage with the muhzeres herself. We wouldn't do that because the muhzeres herself is only prohibited on a rabbinic level, and we do not formulate halacha in such a fashion where we make a gezera upon a gezera. The Gemara asks, V'hotanya, Mishum Reb Elazar Omru, Hi Vitzorasa Choletzes. We have, in the name of Reb Elazar, it says, she and the co-wife do chalitza. The Gemara says that the source we just read is inaccurate. He vitzorosa salka daitoch. There's no need for two yevamas to do chalitza. Chalitza is done by one of the wives, and that exempts the others. So the source, as it is not accurate. Elolav, rather, it must be oihi oitzorosa. If anything, it's going to mean or this one or that one. So being that we're already doctoring up the source, lav terutzi kometartzis, have you not had to straighten out the original source anyway? Tritzachi, read it as follows, like Rav Nachman, he choletzis, the muhzeres, the woman who had been divorced and then remarried, so she will do chalitza. Sarasa, the co-wife, oicholetzes o misyabemes. In other words, regarding the co-wife, there is a yibum option. The Rashi says he choletzes. We're looking at Rashi toward the end of the narrow lines. Im ba yavam lizokek la, if the yavam wants to connect with her, choletzes upoteres sarasa v'lo misyabemes, she will do chalitza, and that will exempt the co-wife, and there'll be no yibum. Aval im nizkak litzarasa, if however he approaches the co-wife, then oy choletzes o misyabemes v'hi nifteres, that will be effective either through chalitza or yibum in releasing the muhzeres. Now we have a new Mishnah. Before we read the Mishnah, we'll just note that we have a double underlining marking, and on the side the double underlining highlights the case of shtei achoyos, two sisters that we will discover are married to two brothers. The cases are shteihen ktanos, the two sisters are minors. Or you have a case of achas gedoyla v'achas kam. When we speak about minors, unless otherwise specified, it's a case of a rabbinic marriage. It's a girl who was married off by her mother or brother, not by her father. Now the Mishnah. Shnei achim nisuim. Two brothers are married. L'shtei achoyos ktanos. There's a girsa yisoymus ktanos to two sisters that are minors, and hence the bond, the marital bond, is a rabbinic bond. Umeis bailo shel achas man. One of the brothers died. Halazu teitse mishum achos isha. The widow cannot be married by the surviving brother because the widow is the sister of his wife. Gedolo ktano. Two brothers are married to two sisters. However, one is an adult and one is a minor. The marriage between the fellow and the gedola is a Torah level marriage. and any Yibum bond that would be formed would be a Torah level Zika. The marriage between the other brother and the Ketana is a rabbinic level marriage. Mace Baila Shoktana. If the husband of the minor dies, so Teitzeh Ketana Mishumachosisha, the Ketana is not going to participate in Yibum because her adult sister is married on a Torah level to the surviving brother. So the mitzvah of Yibum doesn't apply here because you're dealing with a forbidden relationship, the sister of one's wife. Mace Baila Shel Gedola. Now here you have the opposite situation where the husband of the adult sister dies, and now there remains the brother who was married to the Ketana. Rebbe Eliezer or Rebbe Elozer Omer Melamdim es Ketana Shetemoin Bo. We instruct the minor who is married to the surviving brother to do miyun. And by doing miyun is an instrument of departure from marriage when the marriage was of a rabbinic nature with a minor. She walks out through miyun, which we discussed extensively in our recent shiurim. And with that done, it uproots the marriage, this rabbinic marriage, from the root. It uproots it from the outset retroactively. And therefore, the surviving brother can marry the Yavama, the Gedola. Rabban Gamliel Omer, Im Miano, Miano. If she does that, then fine. The Im Lav, if she doesn't do Miyun, Tamtinat Shetagdil, she can stay with her husband until she becomes an adult, which at which point the marriage would become a Torah level marriage. V'teitze halazu mishum achos isha. Then the gedola would be exempt from mibum on the grounds that she is the sister of the man's wife. There is a Rashi that we'd like to look at, Rabban Gamliel Omer. We look at the Rashi on the third wide line under the Gemara text. Ein zikosa oiseres ezu. The fact that the Ketana is married to a man who is experiencing a Yibum Zika, connection to her adult sister, that does not prevent the man from continuing to live with the minor. The Zika, the bond between the man and her older sister, does not prevent the younger sister from living with her husband. The Rabban Gamliel Sover, Ein Zika. Rabban Gamliel is of the opinion that there is no Zika. Klomar, this means to say, Lo Alima Zika. The bond is not strong. It's a weak connection. Can it birish Beperkam Gamliel, as was explained earlier in the Masechta Hilchach? Im Miano, Miano, if the Ketana does Miyun, fine. V'tisya Beim Gedola, then he can marry the adult sister who's a widow. V'im Lav, if she does not, if the Ketana doesn't do Miyun, Tamtin Ketana Etzlo, the minor wife will stay with her husband, until she becomes an adult, thereby concretizing the marriage into a full-fledged marriage. And the adult widow will be exempt on the grounds that she is the sister of the surviving brother's wife. Aval mechlitz l'gdoyla loy. But chalitza done with the gedola is out of the question. If he does that, the posal esaktana olav mishum achos chalitza. If the surviving brother who's married to the minor opts to do chalitza with the gedola, that will make his own wife, the ketana, forbidden to him on the grounds that she is the sister of the chalitza. We go back to the Mishnah. Rabbi Yoshua Oimer, Oy loy al ishto, or a lo al ishes, it's like saying oi, a loi al ishes ochiv. It's a double loss. Motzi es ishto beget, the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua is such that he doesn't believe in training her, teaching her to do miyun. This is a point that we'll see later in the Gemara, that one should avoid miyun. Now, the minor is not going to continue living with her husband when her elder sister is currently the Yavoma. He is of the opinion, that is, Rabbi Yeshua is of the opinion, that there is Zika, and that the Zika prevents the surviving brother who's married to the minor continuing with his wife. The Zika of the older sister, the adult sister, prohibits then, as we said, the man continuing with the minor wife. So he divorces her with a get. V'eshes achiv b'chalitza, and the adult sister will be released through chalitza. Not Yibum. Yibum cannot be done because she, the adult sister, who is a widow, happens to be the sister of this man's grusha. So you can't marry the sister of a woman you divorced. So he loses both women, according to Rabbi Yeshua. The Gemara asks, Umi Shari, is it mutter to train or to teach a minor to do miyun? V'ha Tani Bar Kapora. Bar Kapora has the following teaching: Le'olam yidbak adam b'shloishet dvarim v'yisrachek mishloishet dvarim. Person should cleave unto three elements and distance himself from three. Yidbak b'shloishet dvarim b'chalitza u'bavoas shalom u'bavoras nedarim. One should pursue chalitza. He should pursue peace amongst people, and he should practice the absolution or the nullification of vows. V'yisrachik mishloishet dvarim, distance yourself from min hamiyun. That's our topic, and hence we dashed underline that. Umin hapikdoinos, from taking items for guarding, and umin ha'ervonos, and avoid being a co-signer or a guarantor of someone's loan. So our question is raised: how can our Mishnah say melamden esaktana to do miyun when you see miyun is to be avoided? The Gemara answers: miyun de mitzvah shiny. When the miyun is in the context of doing a mitzvah, that through the miyun we'll be able to perform a mitzvah, as is the case over here, to enable yibum with the gedola. So that's different, and in such a situation, we will pursue miyun. The note on the side, we have a topic heading, Noseimivne, and you'll see a diamond is used. Yidbak begimel dvarim, we highlight the three things that one should cleave unto, and we'll explain them as we go along in the Gemara. So we're going to highlight the case of chalitza, havoas shalom, and haforas nedarim. On Amud Beis, the Gemara will make reference to the things that a person should avoid. So in the meantime, Gufa indicates a quote of that which was mentioned in passing before. Tani bar kapara, le'olam yidbak adam b'shloishet dvarim, number one, b'chalitza. Kabashol. This approach is based on the philosophy or the attitude of Abashol when it comes to Yibum versus Chalitza. Choose Chalitza. Desanya Abashol Omer Hakenis is Yivimto L'Shem Noi. The person marries the widow of his brother because of her beauty. L'Shem Ishus, for the purpose of having a wife. L'Shem Dovar Acher, or for some other reason. Some reason other than the pure intention of reestablishing his brother's name. Ki'ilu pogea be'erva, the korov be'enai liyos havlad mamzer. It's as if, now it's not literal, but it's as if he is cohabiting with a prohibited woman. After all, if you don't have the right intention, says Abba Schultz, as if you're marrying your brother's wife. That's Eishes Achiv, which is a forbidden relative. And it's close in my mind, says Abba Schultz, that the children will be illegitimate. So Abba Schultz has a very harsh view regarding those who would pursue Yibum with anything other than the purest of intentions. And since we can assume that most people aren't going to have the very pure intention of being boinus shem achiv, reestablishing his brother's name, so it's better to avoid it and opt for chalitza. Bahavo shalom, one should pursue establishing camaraderieship, harmony amongst people. Dichtiv, bakesh shalom v'rodfehu, seek out peace and pursue it. We continue at the top of Omid Beis. V'omar Rabbi Abo, asya redifa redifa. We're going to employ a word connection, a similarity of expressions. The Rashi at the top line, asya redifa redifa, tashlum sachar gadol la'avua shalom she'ocho perasim lo mazev akirin kemes lo l'olam abo. There is great reward for people who pursue peace, who pursue establishing harmony amongst people, whereby you benefit from the fruits in this world, and the principal reward remains to the world to come. Kigamilas Hasonim, like we find by people who pursue acts of loving kindness, Dichtiv Bahu Im Tzuchayim Tzdoka, which is Ba'ulam Haba, the Chavoy Ba'ulam Hazeh. So now we continue with Rabbi Avol's insight. Ksiv hocha bakesh shalom v'rodfehu, the pasuk we just saw at the bottom of Omer Aleph. Ksiv hosam regarding gemilas chasonim, it says roidef stok of a chesed yimso chayim stok of a kavod. And as we saw in Rashi, you see an allusion in this pasuk to reward in olam hazeh. That's yimso chayim stok, and kavod is, well, I should say in the other way around, Yim Tzachayim Tzok is in Olam Haba and Kovod is in Olam Hazeh. Baforas Nidorim, one should pursue that, the nullification of vows. Kerebi Noson, based on Rabbi Noson's approach, Desanya, Rabbi Noson Omer, Noider, one who vows Ki'ilu Bona Boma. It's as if he built an altar during the Zman, the period of Easter Bomas. There's a prohibition of building altars, personal altars, when the Beis HaMikdash is standing. And from the building of the Beis HaMikdash for eternity, Jews are not allowed to have personal altars. So there's an Easter in Bomas. So one who takes a vow, one who vows, it's as if he is establishing a personal altar. Famekaima, one who fulfills the vow, kilu hikriv oleh korban. It's viewed as if he's then offering a sacrifice on the forbidden altar. So that even though one who vows is expected to fulfill his vow, in the opinion of Rabbi Nosson, the whole deal is reprehensible. Vistrachik mishloish shedvorim, and here we have a series of triangles to highlight the three elements that Bar Kabbalah said to avoid. The first is min ha-mi'unin, to avoid mi'un. Dilma godla u'michrita ba. She might grow to become adult and regret that she did mi'un. So we don't want to create situations where one will likely come to regret. There is probably more to say on this topic, but for our purposes, you'll notice that Rashi is silent, and hence the good advice of Bar Kappor can be taken at face value as well, not to do things that you might come to regret. Min hapikdoinis, the idea of not taking articles to then serve as a watchman over them. This idea is, and we say, don't take it, don't take things. That's bebar masa. We're specifically a person who lives in your own town. The baisei ki baisei domi, in the eyes of your neighbors, your house is like their house to them. People feel very comfortable walking into your house. They're neighbors. They just walk right into your house. And the fear is that he'll walk into your house one day and take his item, and then claim, "Hey, well, give me the item I gave you," when he had already taken it back. So all of this is a scenario that could arise when you're dealing with people from your own community. As we said, people and can stroll into your house even uninvited, because they view your house as theirs. Min ha'eravon. One should avoid being the guarantor of loans, but that's limited. Be'ervi be'arve shaltzion. There are two explanations in Rashi as to what shaltzion means. These are the name of a place. That's Rashi says shaltzion shem mokum shemunichem aloyve v'teivsim orev. In that location, when creditor comes to collect his loan, he doesn't even go to the borrower, he goes right to the guarantor. So you don't want to be in that position. You didn't borrow the money, you simply guaranteed the loan for someone else, but yet you're going to be the one that's going to have to pay up the loan. Afterwards, you'll have to break your head to go get the money from the original borrower. So avoid being a guarantor of loans in that community. As we said, Rashi has another explanation as to what Shaltzion is, but we'll continue in our Gemara. The Omar Rabbi Yitzchak, my dichtiv, Ra Yeroa ki Orav Zor. That's it, Pasuk. Ro Acharo Tavo Lemekabli Gerim, Larvi Shaltzion Utke Atzmu Ledvar Alocha. There are three points that are mentioned in this analysis, but we dash underline that which is of immediate importance to us. Then the Pasuk is saying that evil after evil will befall those people who are accepting of converts, who are co-signers or guarantors of loans, and who is Tokeh Atzmo L'Dvar Halacha. Now, these points will be described as we go on in the Gemara. Mekablei Gerim, the idea of trying to avoid, and you'll notice that we have the double underline to highlight each one of these elements to avoid. Avoid being a receiver of converts. In other words, don't engage in converting people to Judaism. Rabbi Chelbo, based on Rabbi Chelbo's teaching, Yom Rabbi Chelbo, Koshim Gerim Yisrael Kisapachas Ba'or. The presence of converts amongst the Jewish people is as difficult, is as problematic as sapachas is a form of tzoras, of ritual defilement, whereby there is a skin discoloring and there's often great pain with that as well. So you'll ask, what is the problem with accepting converts? After all, the Torah goes out of its way to insist on the proper respect and love to be shown to converts. In fact, it says, "V'ahavtem es hagir," you shall love the convert. But we don't seek out converts, and that's what we are talking about here. And what is the problem that they represent? So there are numerous explanations, and you can see the various commentaries elaborating on that. But amongst the different comments, one of them happens to be an interesting a comment that Gerim, converts, actually are many times are more diligent in their mitzvah performance. And that makes the traditional born Jews, puts them in a bad light. Here you have someone who's coming from the outside and is being very diligent and dedicated to mitzvah performance, and those people who have the merit of being born as Jews aren't in the same class. So, as we said, as Rabbi Chelbo says, that's a difficulty for the Jews having converts in their midst. But again, that has nothing to do with the way we're supposed to treat someone who has converted. we are to bestow upon them the utmost respect and admiration for having chosen Judaism, which represents absolute truth through the Torah of our people. So with that in mind, we continue with the next element that this Pasuk was teaching. Ra Yeroa is Arve Shotzion, the Avdi Shloif Deutz. Shlof is to remove oneself. The creditor removes himself from the love, and Dots, he attaches himself to the guarantor. And as a result, if you guarantee a loan, you're going to be the one that's going to have to pay it up. And as far as collecting your money that you paid out for the other guy's loan, so you have to trouble yourself to get compensation for that. Then we have Tokea Atzmo Lidvar Halacha. Structurally, you can see we've double underlined this as one of the three things that the Pasuk Ra Yeroa Kirav Zar was referring to. Tokea Atzmo Lidvar Halacha. As far as what is that, so we have a bow tie shape introducing the two pshatim, two explanations as to what that is. So you notice one is over here, and a little about halfway down the page, you'll see a number two. Desanya, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Kola Omer, Ein Lo Torah, Ein Loi Torah. That's a Tanaic source, but it's very obscure. Anyone who says Ein Lo Torah, that I don't study Torah, so he doesn't get reward for studying Torah. Pshita, that's obvious. If you don't study Torah, I can expect to receive reward for studying Torah. Ela, Kola Omer, Ein Loi Ela Torah, Ein Lo Ela Torah. Someone who says, I only study Torah and I don't perform the mitzvahs. I might learn about the mitzvahs, but I'm not mekayim the mitzvahs. So we say that he doesn't get reward for the mitzvahs. Honami pshita, but that too is obvious. If a person claims that he only studies Torah, doesn't fulfill the mitzvahs, so obviously he's not going to get reward for mitzvah fulfillment. Ela, so more accurately, rather, what should be the explanation? Dafilu Torah, ain lo. He does study Torah, but he doesn't fulfill that which he studies. So we say, you're not going to get reward even for the Torah that you studied. You're not even going to get study reward. My time, huh? Why is it that he loses everything? It's understandable that he doesn't get reward for mitzvah fulfillment that he hasn't done. But he did study. So we say that if you study and don't fulfill mitzvahs, you don't get reward even for the study of Torah. And why is that? Omar Papa, Omar Kra, Ulamadetem, Oysom, Ushmartem, Lasoysom. And we darshan from this pasuk. Kol Shiyeshna Basil Yeshna Belimida. Anyone who is involved in the performance, so he gets reward for the study of it. Kol She'eino Basia, anyone who is not involved in the performance of the teachings of the Torah, Eino Belmida, he doesn't get reward even for the study, though he did study. V'boy Seima, Li'olam, Kidamrisu Meikora. Another approach is, in fact, to go back to what we said at the beginning of this section. Kol Oimer Ein Loi Ela Torah, Ein Lo Ela Torah. Someone who says I don't perform the mitzvahs, I only study Torah. So we say he'll get reward for just the study and not for the performance. You'll ask, well, isn't that obvious? Lo, sricha, no, it is necessary to call migmar lachrini, the azli v'avdi. We're dealing with a person that studies Torah and teaches the Torah that he studied to others. And the others, upon hearing his Torah lectures, they go and perform the mitzvahs. Mal detemo is le agro l'diday. You might have thought, since the others are performing mitzvahs based on the Torah that you taught them, so their reward is applied to you as well. Komash malon, so we're taught not so. Even though you might be responsible for other people performing the mitzvahs, if you yourself don't perform the mitzvahs, you're not going to get reward. V'boyesem, o toikea atzmu dvar alocha, another approach to what that means. Bidaina the osi dina lekamei v'gomer halacha, a person who is a judge who has a case that's brought in front of him, and he has learned, he knows halacha. Now here we have a Rashi that helps to clarify this case. Rashi says, "V'gomer halacha, yodeh halacha, elo she'ein doyme ledina bo lefonav." He knows laws, but it's not the same thing. That which he knows is not the same as the case in front of him. Let's read that again. Elo she'ein doyme ledin bo lefonav kol kach. Umedami milsa la milsa. It's not exactly the, that which he knows is not exactly the same as the case in front of him, and yet he goes ahead and compares one to the other. V'lomashi l'rabbe, and he doesn't ask, he doesn't consult with his teacher. V'hainu tokea shesoymech v'nishan ha'alocha shu yodea. This is tokea. That's what ha'alocha means. Tokea means to, in this context, means to rely upon that which he himself knows, and goes ahead and rules accordingly without consulting with a higher authority that is in his vicinity. Now we go back to the Gemara, and we said that the tokem atzim va'aloch is b'day dosa dino lekamei v'gomer halacha u'medami milsa lemilsa uvi'islei rabo v'lo ozu mashal. He medami milsa lemilsa means he compares that which he knows to the case that came in front of him, and he has a means of clarifying with a higher authority, though he has a rav in his town. And he doesn't go and ask of him. He doesn't consult with him. Diomar Rabbi Shmuel bar Achmenim Rabbi Yonis Loilom Yira Dayan Atzmo Kilu Cherev Menachas Lo Bein Yirei Choisov VeGehenem Suchalom Mitachtov. Dayan, a judge, should always see himself as if there is a sword that is between his legs, and that purgatory is open underneath him. In other words, there should be a great deal of fear, trepidation, certainly concern that the law comes out correct with all of these motivations in place. The sword between your legs and the gates of purgatory open. Shenemar, hinei mitoso shelishlomo shishim giborim soviv law, megibor Yisrael, mepachad balelas. The pachad shel gehenim, the pasuk that we just read, of Hinei Mitoso Shalishlomo, the Mitoso is a reference to the Beis HaMikdash, in which the high court sat in the Lishkas HaGozis. So there's a reference here to a court situation, and the warriors featured in the Pasuk are the judges, and they are to be Mipachad Balelos, Mipachad Shal Gehenim Shedom Laila. Balelos is a reference to the to purgatory, which is compared to the darkness of night. Rabban Gamliel Omer Iim Mianov v'chulei, and he went on to say v'im lav tamtim atshetagdil v'titzel zu mishum achos isha. The case we saw in the Mishnah involving the man who survived his brother while being himself married to a minor, and there was a widow that is a Yevoma because his brother died, but that widow is an adult. So we saw that if the minor does miyun, then fine. If not, she waits until she becomes an adult, and the widow who is an adult goes out, is free because she is an achos isha. Before continuing on in the Gemara, we glance at the side under the Nosei, the topic heading, Hesber Lishitas Rav Gamliel Shomar. We're going to explain Rav Gamliel that had said, Kishitagdil Zu Teitzi Yevimto Bevelo Klum. When the minor who opted to stay with the husband and not do the miyun, when she becomes an adult, so the widow who was a gedola goes free without anything. There will be another marking. You'll notice a trapezoid or volcano shape that appears that will be a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of a back and forth style Gemara, response, then question, response, and then question. So now the Gemara note, by the way, that we open this with this section with a long question, and you'll see the style as it unfolds. Bo mine Rabbi Elazar me Rav. My taimo de Rabbi Gamliel. What is the basis for Rabbi Gamliel? There's a Rashi that we already pointed out. Rabbi Gamliel has said, "Kishetagdil zu teitzi yevimto bevelo klum." What is the reason for that? So the question is presented in the Aleph Oy Dilma. If you skip down two lines, you see O Dilma Bay's fashion, two sides of analysis. Is it Mishum de Kosovar Kidushe Tano Mitla Tolu, that the Kiddushin that this man had done with the minor is in suspense? The Chigodla Godla Bahada, and when she becomes an adult, it grows with her, so to speak. It goes from rabbinic to Torah level. Afalgav de lo boal, even without any subsequent intimacy. We glance at the Rashi, Godla Bahada, Afalgav de lo boal, the Nikdisha Hashta, Mikomakom. Tafsi Kiddushin Meikora. The original marriage will now take on a Torah level form. The igli milsama freya, and then it becomes clear retroactively the zika dahach loy klumhu, that the bond with the adult sister, the Yibum bond was not a bond from the outset because of this element of the retroactive revelation that the girl who was originally married as a Ketana really becomes a full-fledged married upon her reaching adulthood, operating retroactively, even without any need for a subsequent act of intimacy. Oy Dilma, or possibly Mishum de Kosovar Hamekadesh Achois Yevoma Niftara Yevoma Vaholchala. Or, now here, before we can really explain anything further, we must look at Rashi. Oy Dilma Kiddushin Kamoi Lo Klum Ninu. Or, according to this approach, the original Kiddushin was nothing. Umishum Kiddushin de Be'ila de Mishigodla Nafkohach Yevoma. But rather, because of intimacy that constitutes an act of kiddushin that he does with her after she reaches adulthood, the widowed sister then leaves. The afagav de zika kodemes likiddushin, even though the bond with the older sister, the adult sister who is the widow, preceded the act of marriage, the formal act of marriage with the younger sister. Kosovar, he is of the opinion that Hamekadesh Achos Yevoma, one who marries the sister of the woman you're waiting for to do Yibum with, Niftara Yevoma, that even though in terms of order of things it might look improper, because first there was the Zika, the Yibum bond, and only afterwards you went ahead and married her sister, nevertheless, that marriage works to exempt the Yevoma. Da'asi kiddushi umevatli lezika. But if, once again, if you take this approach, the original kiddushin of the with the Ketana is viewed as nothing. So now let's read this in the Gemara. Oy dilma mishum dekosavar. It could be that Rabbi Amiel is of the opinion hamekadesh achos Yevoma, one who marries the sister of a woman that's bound to you as a Yevoma, Niftara Yevoma V'Ochala, the Yevoma is then exempt, is free to go. However, in order to pursue this analysis, you have to say, I Boal In, I Lo Boal Lo. If he cohabited with the with the woman that he originally married as a minor, but we said that that marriage was zero. So in order for the Yavama to be exempted, the husband of this one would have to cohabit with her, which would be a form of marriage. And if he doesn't do that, so then you won't achieve this exemption for the sister, the widowed sister. That's the question that Rav was asked by Reb Elazar. Omar le, so Rav answers, Hainu taimo de Ramuliel, Mishum de Kosovar, like the second approach. He's of this opinion, because, in other words, according to Ramuliel, how is it that the Yavama is Yotze b'velo klum? Because Reb Gamliel holds, Mekadesh achos Yavama, Niftara Yavama v'hol chala. When one marries the sister of a Yavama, that will exempt the Yavama, and she goes free. E boal in, e lo boal lo. If there in fact is an act of kiddushin with the sister, then the adult, the older Yavama will go free. But if not, if lo boal, if he doesn't have intimacy with the with his wife, then the Yavama will not be exempted, because you don't have an act of kiddushin taking place. And as we said before, simply relying on the fact that they had already been married while she was a ketana, that is of no value in this case. Omar Rav Sheshes, Amino ki nayim v'shochiv Rav Omar lohosh maitza. I think that when Rav said what he did, he was dozing off. Nayim v'shochiv means he was drowsy. Tesanya, Hamekadesh es haketana kiddushel tluyin. We have a Tanaic source that says that one who marries a minor, the kiddushin is in the balance. My tluyin, what does that mean? Lav, doesn't it mean ki godlo godli bahadov yafagav the low boil? That it means that it's in suspense. It's waiting for her to become an adult, and when she becomes an adult, the marriage becomes a full fledged marriage, even without a subsequent act of intimacy. Now we have to respond to that. Omar le Rovin Braid Rav Nachman, Ha Milsa Diktana Mitla Talia Vakaima. When we speak about the marriage of the Ketana being suspended, it means as follows: E Boal In, E Lo Boal Lo. Only if the husband has a subsequent act of intimacy with her after she becomes a gedola, then we say that she is married. If not, then not. Di omra, hu adif minoi, v'ano adifno minei. She figures, he is stronger than me. Hu adif minoi means he can get rid of me with a get against my will. And I am stronger than he in that I can be mimayin against his will. So that up till the point of adulthood, the ketana has this approach. She's like, we could say, on equal footing with the husband. And therefore, in order to establish a full-fledged marriage, you'll have to have an act of biyah after she becomes a gedola. And so that's what mitla talia v'kaima meant. It was in suspense because it's not clear what is going to happen. Is he going to divorce me, or am I going to be mima'enis to him? Question. V'sofa rav, I bo'al in, I lo bo'al lo. Does Rav really hold like that? That only if there is bia will that establish a marriage between this couple, and if not, then no. Voitmar ktana shalomiano vigdilo. A ktana who remained married without having done miun, and she becomes an adult, and viomda v'niseis, she gets up and then marries a second man. Rav Omar Einot Tzricho Get Misheni. Rav says she doesn't need a divorce document from the second man. She doesn't need anything. In other words, the The assumption being that the marriage is one big zero, that her marriage to the first fellow is a complete marriage. Shmuel Omar, Tzricha get Misheni. Shmuel says that she does need a get from the second man. My love, the low ball. Rav, in saying this, Eino Tzricha get Misheni, is it not so that when she went ahead and married a second man, it was a case where she had not done, it's even a case where she had not done bia with the first husband. So just if we just go over that, the second to last line on Omen Aleph, it described the Tana Shlo Miano Vigdila, she had not done min, she became an adult, and at that point she became an adult without having done bia with that man. She went ahead and married a second man. Rav says she doesn't need a get from the second one. Why? Because the marriage to the first one was a full-fledged marriage. What business is a second man marrying an Eishes Isha, a married woman? So what do we see from here? That Rav, in the eyes of Rav, in order to concretize a marriage, it's enough that she simply reaches adulthood, even without this subsequent act of cohabitation after that point. Nope, that's not the case. The Boal. We're here at the top of the Kuf Yud Amen Aleph, and you see that it's that as far as the case Rav was talking about, it could very well be that in order to establish the marriage to the first man in a full sense, she would have had to cohabit with him after reaching adulthood. Well then, E de Baal, if that's the case that Rav and Shmuel were arguing about, that she had bia with the original husband, my time of the Shmuel, why would Shmuel say that when she goes ahead and marries a second man, she'll need a get from the second man? The second man was marrying a married woman. It's a zero. It might be a big sin, but as far as matrimony is concerned, it's nothing. Why should the second man have to give her a divorce document? Kosovar, Shmuel holds, Kol haboel aldas kiddushin harishonim hu boel. Though there was bia, the bia was done on the basis of the original kiddushin. Now the original kiddushin was kiddushik tana, was a kiddushin done with a minor, and that doesn't have a Torah level strength to it. So that even though there was bia, if you're going to ask why does Shmuel say that the marriage to the second fellow takes hold, because the bia, the intimacy that was conducted between the woman and her first husband, though it was done after reaching adulthood, but it was done on the grounds of the original kiddushin. The Gemara asks, you'll notice it's a long question. Well, the ha pligi bo chado zimna. With regard to the bia done on the grounds or on the basis of an original kiddushin, that is a point over which Rav and Shmuel argued in the past. And the basic question is, if they've already argued over that, why do you have to have that stated over here a second time? So the Gemara asks, V'ha pligi bo chado zimno di'itmar kitsho al tanai v'konsastam. An original kiddushin, the kiddushin is the act of a man giving money or money equivalent to a woman in anticipation of marrying her. So the kiddushin was done in this case on condition. And let us say it was done on condition that she has no vows or she has no blemishes. The konsa stam. And then they went, they reached Nisuin, they went to the marriage canopy and had intimacy with her without restating the condition. And after the knisa, after the consummation of the marriage, it turns out she in fact has vows upon her. So this is a woman that had taken vows. Rav Omar Tzricha Heimenu Get. Rav says she cannot just walk out, she needs a get. Shmuel Amar Einot Tzricha Heimenu Get. Shmuel says she can walk out, she doesn't need a get. There was a violation of the conditions. Or better yet, there was a lack of fulfillment of the conditions. Rav Omar Tzricha Heimenu Get. Rav holds that she'll need a get from this man. Kevon de Nasva, since he had gone all the way to consummate the marriage, Achuli Achle Vetnoi, that is the equivalent of his foregoing of those original conditions. Ushmuel Amar Einat Sricha Emenu Get. Shmuel says, no, there's no need for a divorce document. Kol HaBoyel, when a person engages in intimacy, which in this case was the consummation of the marriage, Aldas Kiddushin Rishonim HaBoyel, he does so with the intent of completing the original Kiddushin. Now, the original Kiddushin was based on a Tanai, was with this stipulation that she should not have vows or not have blemishes. And when he is boil her now, when he has intimacy with her at this point, he's doing so with that in mind. And being that those conditions were not met, she's not married. But what do we see? The main point, without getting too involved with the details, we see that Shmuel holds Kol HaBoyel Adas Kiddushin HaRishonim Boyel. So that in presenting the Machloikis, where Rav and Shmuel appear at the bottom of Kuf Tes Amud Beis, as arguing over this point, namely there was bia after the woman had reached adulthood, the bia in question, does that concretize the marriage to the extent that a second man cannot marry her? Well, according to Shmuel, in that case, it didn't concretize the marriage because the original marriage was based on was a minor marriage. And Shmuel says, "Kol HaBoyel Adas Kiddushin HaRishonim Boyel." The bia that she did after reaching adulthood was based on those original kiddushin. So we see this principle, the point of machlokes between Rav and Shmuel, over here in regarding this the case we just saw here at the top of Kuf Yud Amud Aleph. So if we have them having argued over that in the past, why is it necessary for them to argue over that over here? The Gemara answers, it really is necessary to have this argument stated again. And the Gemara answers, you notice we have a long marking, we also have a tzricha. There's a point in the Rashi. And we're going to learn the Gemara using the Girsa of Rashi. You may notice we have a double star in the Rashi to the upper part of the narrow lines, so that we have to understand once again, why is it necessary to have the argument between Rav and Shmuel in these two cases regarding Kol HaBoyel Aldas Kiddushin Rishonim HaBoyel or not. So now the Rashi. We're using the Rashi in place of the Gemara. You can see in the Gemara we have a brackets indicating the section that we will skip in terms of Gemara and replace it with that which you see in the Rashi, and then pick up with the Gemara after the brackets. So now we turn to the Rashi. The Itmar Baha Gabi Ktana Shalom Yano. I had Rav and Shmuel arguing over in the case of the Ktana that had not done miyun and reached adulthood and then had bia with the with her husband now as an adult. Behol koma Rav, in this case Rav says his din that the bia is not aldas kiddushin harishonim. The asik adaite, it occurs to him, livol l'shem kiddushin mishigodlo, that the intimacy I'm going to have with her now, after she becomes an adult, this is the formal kiddushin, the formal marriage. Mishum delekotanoa, there's no issue here of conditions. Ein psul kiddushin arishonim mishum tanai, the lack of strength to the original kiddushin isn't because of a condition. Elo, a stipulation, elo mishum katnus, it was because of minority status. The adam yodeya she'en kiddushin harishonim klum, people know that the kiddushin done with a minor is a zero. The chazar uboal l'shem kiddushin, then when he has the intimacy after she becomes an adult, that is clear in his mind, says Rav, that is a formal kiddushin. Behahi, the case of a marriage that was based on a stipulation, and then the consummation, the intimacy done without a repeat of the tenai. In that case, the iko tenai, where there was a condition, emo moide lishmuel vadaita de tenai bo'il. In such a case where the original Kiddushin was done based on a stipulation, maybe Rav agrees with Shmuel that there the be'ah done, the consummation of the marriage, was on the basis of the original Kiddushin that was with stipulation. So had I presented Shitas Rav that a person is not boyal al das kiddushin rishonim only in the case of the minor that had not done miyun, I wouldn't know that Rav would adopt the same stance in the case of a kiddushin that was done with a stipulation. Let's go back now to the Gemara text after the brackets. V'yitmar b'hol, and had I had only this case, the case of the tenai, Behach Koma Shmuel. There Shmuel says that Kol HaBoyal Das Kiddush Rishonim Boyal Avol Behach Emo Modeli Shmuel. But in the case of the marriage with the Ktano that was not Mimayenis, maybe he would agree with Rav that the Bio done after she becomes an adult is the new Kiddushin, and it's not based on the original. Sricha, there I have to tell that even in that case, Shmuel will hold that the Bio is done al smach on the basis of the original, we'll say, meaningless or non-serious form of kiddushin, the kiddushei tana. So up till this point, then we are suggesting that that Rav's halacha was stated in a case of Bi'ah having taken place, and this of course throws us back to the beginning of this whole give and take in the Gemara, where we were explaining the reason for Rabbi Gamliel as to why the adult Yavama goes out free is because the man who was married to the minor had actually, there was a need for him to have done Bi'ah after reaching godless, and if that is what took place, so then the gedola goes out free. Now let's go back. Now let's continue. Umi Omar Rav ki boil im e lo boil lo. Would Rav really have said that only if bia took place after the minor had become an adult, only then would the sister, with her sister who was the yavama, the gedola, would go free? But if there was no subsequent bi'ah after the minor had become an adult, then the adult sister would not go free. Narish is the name of a place. There was a case in that town, the Ikdisha Kshiktana, the Godla. The Kedushin had taken place with the girl when she was a minor, and she became an adult. The Oisve Abe Kursaya. She was placed on a bei kursaya, on a pirion. It's a situation where it's like a chuppah. Rashi says a bei kursaya. Just Rashi a couple lines up from here. Ba pirion kasaka deitoch. The thinking right now is kishar chuppos shadayin lo boala. This a bei kursaya is a type of, we'll say, marriage canopy, which is similar to other situations of marriage canopies where bia has not yet taken place. Vafilochi lo hitzrichua gito mi basra, and even so, when a second guy comes along and marries her from that point, she's not considered married to the second guy whatsoever. You don't, and to leave him, she leaves without a get. Alma chalu kiddushi kamoi. So we see that the original kiddushin takes place by simply having reached adulthood without the need for a subsequent act of intimacy. So now let's go over the case in the Gemara. The story in Narish, where a girl had been received kiddushin when she was a minor, she reached adulthood, she went under a marriage canopy. V'osa achrina v'chotfa minei, and someone else came and grabbed her from the husband she thought she was marrying. The Rav Bruna of Rav Hananel Tamile de Rav Havu Hassam, these two scholars, Rav Bruna and Rav Hananel, who were students of Rav, were there. Below it's Rikhua Gitomi Basra. And there was no requirement of a divorce document from that second man who swiped her away and then tried and married her, because the Kiddushe Rishon had taken hold even without the need for an act of intimacy. So we bring into question the approach taken, suggesting that Rav says that after Gadlus, an act of intimacy is necessary. Omar Rav Papa, Benarish Minsev Nesivi Vahodar Moisvi Abekursa. In Narish, the practice is that there is first Bia, and then they go to the Bei Kursaya. So you're talking about a case of Kiddushin through Bia after she had become a Gedola. Rav Ashi Omar, a second approach, that's why I have a number two over here. And Rav Ashi says, listen, the first guy really, the original husband really was not Boyal after she became a Gedola. Now, if Rav is really of the opinion that without the Bia, then as we said before in the original Yavoma case, without the Bia, with the girl who just became a Gedola, so the older sister would not go free, well then why would Rav not require a get from the second man? Because it's mashma that it's mashma from here that without the Bia, so the second man's Kiddushin takes hold. So Rav Ashi says, Rav Ashi Amar, who also shalo kahogen? Lefikoch osu bo shalo kahogen. This guy who grabbed her from the marriage canopy did something reprehensible. Therefore, we're going to deal with him also in a non, we'll say, straight legal fashion. We're going to treat him also that way. Vafkinu Rabbonan, the Kiddushin Minei, and the Rabbonan uprooted whatever Kiddushin the second guy did with her. So we see a form of dealing with him in a measure-for-measure fashion. He grabbed a woman away from a first fellow, even though the first fellow hadn't done Bia, and under those circumstances we're suggesting that the second man's Kiddushin would have taken hold. But we come along and say, did something wrong? We're going to annul your Kiddushin retroactively. That's Afki'inu Rabbonan the Kiddushin Minei. Omar Le Ravino Le Ravashi Tenach Dekodesh Bekaspo. That is a reasonable procedure or explanation for where the second fellow offered her money. We can declare the money that was given to her as null and void, and the money is viewed as a mere gift, but not as a Kiddushin money. Kodesh Babiomai, what about a case where the second fellow did Kiddushin with her through an act of intimacy? How do you nullify that? So we answer, Shavuor Abona Libilasa, Bilasnus. They can declare that act an intimacy of intimacy, not an act of marriage, but as an act of harlotry. Omar Rav Yehuda Omar Shmuel, Halocha Karebi Eliezer. The Halocha follows Rabbi Eliezer that in the case of a surviving brother married to the sister of the Avoma, who is a Ktana, we train her, we teach her to do Miyun. And if she does Miyun, then the surviving brother can marry the adult sister of the girl who was originally his wife. V'chein Omer Rabbi Lozer, Halocha, K'Rebbi Lezer, and not only Shmuel, but Rabbi Lozer, the Amora, also says that the Halocha follows Rabbi Eliezer. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, in order to access Marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.